2, and this is the final episode about Emacs that I have for you. And you know what? I'm sitting here, I'm looking at you, and I see an Emacs Pro, practically. I don't know what else I can teach you. You've come so far in so little time. I really hadn't expected you to do quite so well. I mean, no offense, but I mean, no one's ever picked it up so fast. You're just doing such a great job. So, yeah, you're nearly an Emacs ninja, so I'm going to share stuff with you that really I thought for sure I'd never get to in this episode, in this series. I just thought it was going to be too complex. But I feel you're up to the challenge at this point. You're just so amazing. So, Emacs Jedi, let's start with a little bit of a review. So, in the first episode, of course, we found out that there were buffers in Emacs, correct? So if we open one text file, we see that in front of our face, we open up a new text file, and it just kind of opens up right over that one. So we've got two windows open, they're just not both visible at the same time, obviously. They're in a buffer. And you can switch buffers. Do you remember what the keyboard shortcut for that is? Of course you do. It's Control X and then B for buffer. When you hit Control X and then B for buffer, in the mini buffer, that's the little strip down at the bottom of Emacs, you get a prompt. And the prompt is asking you which buffer you want to switch to. And if you hit the up or the down arrow, it kind of scrolls through this list of which buffer you want to switch to. And you can switch over to Scratch or Messages or whatever you might have opened at any given time during this Emacs session. And by default, it always wants to switch to the most recent buffer, you know, so if you can kind of switch back and forth between two buffers really quickly. It's kind of nice. So this is a very powerful feature of Emacs, but there's another level here that you don't know about yet. And it's called something that I actually don't know because I'm not an Emacs fanatic. I call them frames. They're probably frame buffers or something, or meta frame buffers. I really don't know the term. I'm going to call them panels or frames. I'll probably call them whatever I want to at any given time, so just bear with me. Try this. So if you open up Emacs, you don't have to open up anything. You can just sit there in the Scratch buffer for now. Hit Control X B to switch buffer. And then instead of choosing a buffer to switch to, just hit the question mark. And notice how that brings up a new panel from the right, or at least on mine it comes in from the right. It might come in from the bottom on yours, it depends on your setup. And it says something about clicking on a thing and switching buffers and stuff like that. We don't really care what it says. I just wanted you to see that little frame thing that comes in. So it's basically splitting up in some way. It splits up your current window into two frames, either from the bottom or the side, whatever. So we can control that. We can make that happen on a regular basis. So go ahead and click on something just to get that frame out of the way. But here we are in Emacs. And we can do a couple of things. And I like to put Emacs in full screen mode for this demo because this is a cool one. So we've got full screen Emacs here. Lots of screen real estate. Honestly, in Emacs, you typically don't need all that room. You know, you don't want the text just spanning all the way across your window, usually. 80 characters across is usually pretty good. And 80 characters just doesn't take up that much space. So what we can do is we can split our window in half so we can have two different panels of Emacs at our beck and call. And to do that, you hit Control X and then the number 3. I don't know why they chose the number 3. I don't have a mnemonic for that. I don't have any secret as to why that would be, but that's what it is. Control X and then the number 3, and you'll see what it does. It splits it right down the middle, and we have a scroll bar now there on the between these two divisions of our Emacs windows. Pretty cool, right? How do you get from pane to pane? Control X O, and the way I remember that is other. So if you do Control X and then O, you'll see that your cursor is suddenly over there in the other frame. Now right now, if you're doing it exactly like I am, where we didn't open up anything new, We've just got two panels of the same exact frame, and they are indeed the same. And you can type into that scratch buffer, and you'll see your text appearing in both sides of that frame. So it's the exact same instance of the same file. So we could open something in one of these things. And what I usually do, honestly, is in my right panel, I open up a shell. So I hit Meta X, which is Alt X, or if you prefer, Escape and then X, and then type in E shell. And now we've got a terminal right over there on the right side of our window. And then to get back over to our text document, or scratch document in this case, Control X O, and now my cursor is over on the left. Pretty simple, huh? Well, watch this. Let's go back over to our terminal, Control X O. Now I'm over my little E shell. And now if I hit Control X and then the number 2, it just split that panel into half horizontally. So now we've got a big panel on the left. We got a short but long panel on the right, and a short but long panel below that on the right. So it's a three up view. This is exactly, to me, this is a lot like Blender, because you can make all these divisions in your screen space and then bring up all different kinds of interfaces into each one. So a lot of times what I'll do on the bottom panel, and to get there it's just a Control X O again, I'll bring up like either ERC or some other text document that I want to refer to. That's actually what I usually do. So I would do a Control X, Control F, and I'll bring up a README file, for instance, if I was like compiling software or something, I don't know. Usually it's just a different file in the same document that I'm writing. So now I've got three panels. I've got my main panel on the left, and that's the big one where I work. I've got a X term, essentially an E shell, on the right on standby, and I've got a reference document on the right in the lower panel. I imagine for coders this would be great too. I mean, I guess you could have like a, I don't know, go with me on this, a header file? Is that what they're called? On the top, and then like an include file or something on the bottom, and then your main.c on the left. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Point is, you can have lots of cool stuff going on all over the place in this little Emacs editor deal. Okay, well, let's say you hate that, and you want to get rid of a frame. That's pretty easy. You go Control X, O to whatever, you know, you just do it so that you're in whatever frame you want to have, or don't want to have anymore. Make that the active frame. And then Control X, 0. And that zeroes it out, as it were. Now it only kills that current frame. If you wanted to kill all the frames and just get back to your big monolithic single window, Control X 1 does that. Okay, so what happened to those buffers that existed in those frames that we just killed? Well, don't worry, they're still there. If you hit Control X and then B, you see that everything that you had open is still there. The README is still open. My main text document is still open, my E shell still exists, and in fact so does like messages and scratch and everything like that. So you can kill the frames, but the buffers still exist. So they're basically new viewports into your existing stack of buffers. Again, this is all my terminology. I have no clue if this is how Emacs people talk when they get together for their little Emac user meetings and Emac user dinners and stuff that they do. I never get invited to any of those. Okay, so the other thing, the cool thing that you can do, let's split this up again. Control X 2 and a Control X 3. Now we've got a weird little configuration here. Let's say that one of those panels becomes really important to you, one of those frames gets really important to you. So you'd Control X O over to it. It can be any one you want, it doesn't really matter. And then hit Control X and then 5, and then 2. I know, that's a weird one. And again, I have no clue how to remember it. It's just so weird that you just kind of remember it. So it's Control X, and the number 5, and then the number 2. That pops that frame out into its own window. So let's say that you are working on a text document, and you realize, oh, I need to be over on a different virtual desktop so that I can refer to something that I've got going on over there. Well, Control X, 5, 2 pops out the frame into its own little window. You can move it over to whatever desktop you want, So now I'm on desktop 2 with my little virtual window, and I can type more stuff in and make it all fancy, and then I can go back over to my other desktop and continue working within my my established frames. Now that's pretty powerful stuff. It's a lot of window management all within your Emacs window. And it's really, really powerful, because I just can't tell you how organized it is, especially if you're writing reference kind of material where you need to look at one document so that you can refer to all this all these sort of like very technical documented features, but you're trying to translate them into human terminology, or maybe you're writing one chapter, not chapter, but like one scene from a screenplay, and there's another scene that you want to kind of have on hand. Instead of flipping back and forth, you can just have them both open in the same window in different frames. And then you can always have that X term up there at the top right, because you know you're going to have something that you want to do in your terminal. So this is very cool. You could also have W3M, like a web browser, in one of those frames. That's about the best kind of everyday user features that I can think to tell you about. The frame thing takes a little bit of getting used to, but once you get it down that it's Control X3 for the vertical split, Control X2 for a horizontal split, and then you can split those splits, and Control XO to navigate from frame to frame, it's just it works like a charm. And don't forget, you can always set any of these things to other keyboard bindings. It's just really, really simple once you get familiar with kind of the commands that you're actually doing. Other important key bindings that you might want to know about that I have not told you about yet would be, I do it with the escape key and then the greater than symbol. Or that's the less than symbol, sorry. Less than symbol gets you to the beginning of a document, and then escape greater than symbol gets you to the bottom of a document. Those are very handy to know, at least I think so. Of course, Control V is a page down. I don't really use page up, so I don't even know what it is. And then I could use the Emacs tutorial and it would tell me. And then there's Control S for searching a document. So if you do a regular expression, you can search through your document and it will keep searching for that as long as you hit Control S. Just keep Control S and it'll just keep, you know, find next, find next, find next. And Control R is a reverse search. And again, it's just as many times as you hit it, it'll keep searching through that document, and then at some point it'll say, okay, I've wrapped back around to the top or the back to the bottom of your document, and you're just going in a loop, so keep your eye on that that mini buffer at the bottom of Emacs screen. Other than that, I think that's really it for using Emacs. That is really scratching the surface, because there are so many plugins, but in terms of just Emacs itself, those are the killer features in my mind. I couldn't really tell you how to do all that in Vim, but I do know that it's all pretty much possible in Vim. So again, it's not the fact that this is the only thing that, you know, Emacs is the only text editor in the world that can split itself up into frames and pop frames out of itself and launch different modes and stuff like that. But it does have a very unique workflow that just kind of fits when you're really writing a lot. I don't know, somehow it all flows really, really well. And it's interesting, because when I'm doing conf files and stuff, Vim is really great because you never take your hands off of that home row. But somehow when I'm writing paragraphs, like human sentences, it seems to really help me. And even like a lot of like HTML and CSS stuff, it really seems to help me somehow, the way that flow, just from the bottom up, from Control X up and Control C and all these different keys. It's more like, I don't know, playing a piano or something. I don't know, Vim would be like playing an oboe or something. I'm not really sure what any of these analogies are actually meaning, but they're really cool. Emacs is cool. Check out different ways to launch Emacs too. If you launch Emacs from your standard menu, it'll just bring up the white page with the black text, but if you prefer a darker inverted look, you can launch Emacs if you do it from like a command line or KRunner or if you just hard code your own menu, you know, like for Fluxbox or the KDE menu, if you just hard code it so that it's Emacs space dash FG as in foreground, and then some color, that would be your text color. So I have foreground being wheat, that is W-H-E-A-T, so it's kind of an off-white, and then I put the background dash BG as black, and then the CR cursor red, and that gives me a good sort of inverted look that I like to use a lot. So check that out, and you know, do your own variations, and check people's .emacs files out. I mean, there's always hidden gems in those things. Check mine out. Mine is largely stolen from a friend of mine who uses Emacs a lot more, or I guess he uses it a lot more than me. I might be starting to catch up with him now, but he has used it for longer than I have, and he's got a great, very cool .emacs file that he's compiled, you know, over time. So he's got a lot of cool stuff integrated into his .emacs that I use now on a daily basis. Again, that's kind of like Emacs for me. That .emacs file is my definition of Emacs. And you can have one of your own. You can construct your own .emacs file, you can rip people's off, and eventually you will fine-tune Emacs into being an extension of your hands. And this is the point where I tell you that I know at the beginning of the series I kept saying, I'm not trying to sell you on Emacs. You know what? I totally lied. Emacs is the only text editor that you will ever use. You've now been indoctrinated. You know everything there is to know about it, and now you love it. So you might as well just succumb to it. There is no other editor than Emacs. You can say it with me. There is no other editor than Emacs. There is no other OS than GNU and its kernel Linux. Thou shalt not use any other editor than Emacs. There is no other editor than Emacs. There is no other OS than GNU and its kernel Linux. Thou shalt not use any other editor than Emacs.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.